Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Kevin Carroll. Kevin's the Army Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems. And joining us in our conversation is Brian Dixon.
Kevin, we're hearing more and more about the importance of joint combat operations involving all the various services. What are you doing in your work to ensure greater interoperability between the Army systems and those systems of the other services?
That's a good point, Brian. The these last couple of years in particular have been, we the Army have really spent a lot of time working in the joint community. We realize that the joint community really does call the shots. We want to be interoperable with where the whole Department of Defense is moving, and to include with our coalition partners. And so we, in the design of our systems today, we're not doing anything that does not get the approval of what we call the domain owner, which really is the DoD responsible party for their architecture. So, for example, if we're doing logistics work in the Army, which we are, the architecture we're using within the Army, we take it to DoD, to the DoD logistics organization, and get its blessing that we are fitting within that architecture from the DoD perspective. So as the Navy and the Air Force are building their solutions for logistics and our solution, we all interoperate within a common architecture. And we're doing that in personnel, we were doing that in finance, and we're doing it in the information technology arena. So we're really spending a lot of upfront architectural time that we used to not do years ago to make sure that we have interoperability occurring. And that'll help us do a couple of things. One, to reduce systems, get rid of duplication that we do have. Within the Army we have it, within DoD we have it. So we're hoping that'll help on that issue. It'll provide the visibility that the joint commander needs today. And a lot of that came out in Iraq, the ability to see supplies between services, for example, in our area. The ability to access, not only ammunition, but the food and the fuel and parts for, we had a big issue with tracks. Remember, we were breaking and not getting the production out of tracks for our tanks. And that was a big issue that we needed. We were finding any place we could find a track, we wanted to see that, and the joint commander wanted that. And so by having information technology systems where they're able to go view that, hey, that's in Germany, let's get it over to Kuwait or Iraq immediately, really was a big payoff. And so all of that, having the systems tie together so that the commander can direct the troops is very, very important. How we ensure that we're doing all that stuff, like I mentioned, is architecture. We also have joint interoperability requirement in all of our programs. And that requires us that prior to deploying a program, we have to get a blessing from the joint community, the J6 we call them, but basically it's information technology part of the Army at the joint staff, that our system is interoperable with their architecture and the things they want from a technical perspective. And we test for that as part of our testing process. And we have to get their blessing that they're satisfied that we're meeting the standards, the goals, and the architecture for the IT information system stuff. And that really helps bring about what we all want, which really is when it comes time for the fight, it doesn't matter what service, what uniform you have on, we're together, one unit, and the commander can direct and not have to play around with 10 or 12 information technology systems to get the answer that he or she needs to get the job done.
I understand that the Information Technology Enterprise Solutions, or ITES, initiative is an important focus of your organization. Could you tell us about ITES?
We started a while back. In the Army, we've had a number of contracts that we've been doing through the Army Small Computer Program, which is under us. And basically, they were commodity contracts, so either commodity for products or even commodity for services, for labor. And that was kind of the approach that we had been taking in the past. And that allowed all the users within the Army, open to Department of Defense, and even open to outside services like GSA and places, other government agencies. And they could order what they needed to create something. But as we started within the Army having this need to consolidate our information technology systems and to begin approaching things in an enterprise manner, it really led to us to start thinking we really don't want commodities. What we're really looking for is solutions to problems that we face and that industry has already faced in their consolidations within their corporate structures. And so we're doing the same thing. And so the idea was, how can we create a contracting vehicle that would help us to begin focusing on solutions to a problem and let industry have more choices when they propose to us on how they could go about solving a particular solution based on their experiences that they've had with other corporate and government customers. And that led to this idea of information technology enterprise service contract. And it's broken into two pieces. One piece still deals with the commodity area, the servers that are needed for consolidation, a lot of the technology, communications equipment, the things that would be needed to consolidate, let's say create a web server farm, for example, that kind of technology. And we awarded to some real high quality vendors on that piece of the contract. And that's open for ordering, and anybody can order off of that. The kind of the more interesting piece is the second piece, which is the solutions contract piece. And again, we spent a lot of time, took our time, selecting contractors that we felt could bring the value we needed to give us creative solutions to our technology problems. So we went through a detailed selection process and picked the vendors we felt very comfortable with. And the whole idea of this is that then we can write statements of objectives, kind of high-level mission needs, with some of the performance expectations that we in government have, we'll come out to industry. Industry can come back using the technology off of the other contract, but using their brains and their services to put together a solution that really will hopefully move us quicker to the consolidation and help us really reduce cost, get performance up better on the systems that we have, and really lead us to this enterprise connection across the Army, where we're really trying to create one network, one virtual network, but one network across the Army.
What are the major challenges that you see to achieving this vision?
Well, actually, the hard parts that I mentioned about the statements of objectives, getting us in the government to think through what we really are after at a high level is a big challenge. We're better at actually kind of writing out what we know, like from a technical viewpoint, and that these are the kind of things we want. And of course, that automatically, and in an industry's case, they usually want to give us what we want, so they'll do what we kind of tell them to do, and the creativity gets squashed. And so we're trying to really raise that up and have our guys sit through, think through exactly what we're trying to accomplish here. What would be a big payoff for our customers through these contracting vehicles once we got delivery of that services or that solution? And so that's a big challenge, just to have people step back, think big picture, try to write out the objectives, and really try to write out the how we would know if we're successful or not, what would be our metric for success. And that isn't an easy thing to do. It's easier to give briefing charts about how to do it. It's harder to actually do in your particular environment, and it requires that you get the right people there that can do that. Help. I mean, we've turned outside industry, actually, a couple of consulting kind of organizations to come and help us think through that ourselves, an outsider that can kind of work as that liaison between our players to help do that. I'd say that's probably the one big challenge. The other one is that, assuming we get through that, and let's say that we pick up, a good example would be portal technology. Let's say that industry has outsourced a lot of their own web-based portal efforts, and so we could go out and with some help and get the smart thinking and try to figure out what are the important metrics for running a portal and outsource that, let the vendors take it over, and then you know, get better performance and better and lower cost even. So we can do things like that. Historically, we in the government have been better at putting that at the start of a contract. We're not so good at monitoring it, you know, and determining if we actually made the results over years or not. And part of it's very difficult. The challenge is like people. A lot of times our business case analysis of doing this kind of stuff says we're going to lose X number of systems administrators. And that's true. In the real world, that is what happens. But in the Army, who owns those systems administrator is everybody. I mean, there's tons of people that own them. They're not under one hat. And so the ability to determine if that system administrator really went away, or did they get reutilized for other priority mission stuff, it's very difficult sometimes to capture the savings and verify the facts. So that's the challenges.
So are you attempting to tackle that problem?
Yes, we are. We're trying to really learn from industry. I mean, experiences, because the industry's had the same problem. And we're trying to learn of what they've experienced, as well as the other government agencies who have tried this and learned, and trying to build a way into capturing that a lot better, to use a a process where we really are finding it a way to measure over time to determine if we're doing it. We haven't, unfortunately, though, really been able to get through the decentralization of the government organization on how it manages money and people. That's still a big challenge for us, is to really be able to, we can determine, I think we feel more comfortable now that we can determine where there were 20 people running the system and now it's being run with four, as an example. We feel comfortable with being able to track that that's true, and we can measure that. We don't know, though, if the Army, or the budget people would not be happy, because we can't really show them that there's 16 people's worth of savings that went somewhere. And that's been that still is a challenge, and I haven't figured out, I don't think the Army has figured out a way to kind of solve that problem as of yet.
There's much talk these days about performance-based contracting. However, our guest has actually been a leader in this area. So what is it and why is it important? Well, ask Kevin Carroll, the Army PEO for Enterprise Information Systems, for his perspective when the business of government hour returns.